This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello and welcome to the show. We are those conspiracy guys. I'm Gordo.
And I'm Steve.
And welcome to this true crime episode all about the Lake Bottom murders. That's B-O-D-O-M, not B-O-T-T-O-M.
But we will be...
Pronouncing it like Bottom. Yeah, absolutely. These murders happened in 1960 in Finland, and they're one of the strangest, most unsolved cases in Finnish history.
Yeah, very grisly. Apparently it's not that much murder.
Yeah, not
in
a lot.
Finland.
Not a lot of murder.
Not enough. And any sort of crime generally is domestic crime. There's a bit of slapping around the place. Yeah. There might be a husband killing a wife and sitting there waiting for the cops to come back. But generally speaking, this sort of business isn't every day, despite what the bridge and Sarah Lund and the killing would have you believe.
Yeah, that's all the Nordic murder sprees.
Yeah.
They do murder a few pints of a Friday, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's about it. Those Conspiracy Guys is a podcast for those of you that are over here from Spin FM. We did this on Spin, and you should be listening to that if you've listened today on the radio. We are a podcast. We talk about conspiracy theories in a kind of a funny and candid manner. And if you get offended, then, well, you probably should be listening. Sorry about your sensibilities. We are on all the social media. So we're on Facebook, facebook.com/thoseconspiracyguys. We're on Twitter at @TConspiracyGuys. And we're being joined live in the chat room on Discord by the lovely folks over at Patreon. Patreon is the lifeblood of the show. It's a creator space where fans can donate money to the creators to help them out and help keep their shows nice and fresh and funded. So the Discord server is an app that you can download where you can join in with voice or with text. And right now, we've got a load of people in our Discord server listening to us doing this live. You're listening to this in the future. So hello, future. And these guys are going to be commenting through the show. So I'm going to be reading out some of their comments as we join along. If you want to join in the next time, head over to patreon.com/thoseconspiracyguys and drop a dollar. Help the show out. And you can join in and get your comments read out on the air. So with that, we're going to talk about the Lake Bottom murders. If you have anything that you want to talk about with regards to this topic or anything that we bring up in the show, you can email us info@thoseconspiracyguys. And we do take correction. I reserve the right to be wrong, but at the same time, I like being corrected, or we can make some alterations or something.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
It's not the definitive work. Yeah. This is just us taking a dalliance at the true crime. So if something we got wrong, just email us info@thoseconspiracyguys and let us know. Or if you want to join in or proffer a theory, this one is fucked up. This episode's totally open ended. Absolutely, like one of those Tenga like wank toys. It's just totally open ended, man. Both sides.
So you could be joined by a friend.
Yeah. Touching tips. And these guys, like, these four kids died in Finland in... What can only be considered the first teen murder movie, the first Friday the 13th, Final Destination. These kids got smushed, right?
Absolutely. Whacked, stabbed, and smashed.
Yeah. It's pretty shocking. Joining us then in the show is the wonderful comedian, father, lover, brother... beard fashioner.
Yep, pointy beard owner.
Pointy beard owner, Stephen Elliott. Fantastic comedian. If you want to join him or tell him how awesome he is, @LanceHandsome on Twitter. Or he gigs all over Dublin. You can go and clap one hand after the other and tell him how great he is. So thanks for joining us on the show, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
You're a stalwart, those conspiracy guy.
I am indeed. I'm balls deep.
To the shaft. Yeah. So the Lake Bottom murders, bananas. We talked about it on the radio today. It was fucking crazy.
So crazy, a band named themselves after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy metal. On Saturday, The 5th of June.
1960,
lads.
Yeah, so we're going back.
Mm-hmm. 14 years were found dead on the shores of Lake Bodom, which is only 22 kilometres away from Helsinki. And that's in Finland.
Yep.
In a small area known as Espoo. I know. And between 4 and 6 in the morning, some, you know, murderous soul kicked their tent down.
Yep.
Jumped up and down on top of them, bit them with rocks, and then stabbed them a rake of times.
Yep.
And then got away without leaving any DNA evidence, and was never arrested and never tried and never convicted.
Yeah. Not even one sole survivor.
Yeah.
Left to tell the tale.
One of the four kids, right?
Yeah. Of a large shrouded creature with red eyes.
Mm. Smells like bullshit to me, boy.
Tell me about it.
So tell us, what bring us through it then. What happened on that fateful summer night?
So it started off like any lovely tale would. Two couples, two boys, both 18 years old, and yeah. Two girls, 15 years old.
Wait, what?
Yeah. They decided to go out camping. Two 18-year-old lads, young, dumb, and full of cum, take two 15-year-old girls. Ah. It's the 60s. I'm sure that stuff was allowed. Look at Elvis.
Or the BBC.
So
these guys, 18 and 15 for the girls.
Yeah, so the girls, Miley?
I would say
Miley Bjorklund. She was 15. She was going out with
Nils
Wilhelm Gustafsson. And he was 18, and he was the only survivor. And Anya Mackey was 15, and she was going out with Seppo Boisman, who was 18. And they all went out to go camping, fishing, and he brought some alcohol with them. I'm sure some cigarettes, I'm sure a yeah. Load of condoms, a little bit of lube, maybe some schmuckers. We'll see. And they went out there for a great night. Now, they went out, did a bit of fishing, had a few drinks. And then as they slept after a night of drinking, alcoholic lemonade.
Yeah, that's what they do, yeah.
Is that the thing? Is that just what, just like what?
I lived in Estonia for a while. Yeah. And you could go in and buy stuff that looks like soft drinks. Yeah. And if you drink six of them, you're fucked up. They're like, they had like gin, but it was like, it tasted like bitter lemonade. Yeah, like Mike's Hard Lemonade, Gord says in the chat room. Yeah, it's like just like fizzy pop, like what were those things called? Bacardi Breezers, remember them?
Yeah. Oh, jeez, you could. I mean, like if you were used to drinking whiskey or something proper,
or hooch.
Yeah, and somebody gave you Pulses Bacardi hooch. Breezer, you'd knock it back, and all of a sudden your legs are pissed after six of them, and the rest of you feels fine.
You're like, I'm grand, but I can't see.
Christine, yeah. Legal age of 16 for what, drinking or for everything?
For everything, I think.
So
they mature faster in Finland.
We should probably do a live show. Finland, I'm thinking, it'd probably be a good place to go. We'll do a live comcast with Philip Garrido, tell him what he's missing. But so the four of them, they go to the lake, they go into their tent, and they go asleep. Somewhere between 4 and 6, the tent lines are cut,
yeah.
And the tent falls on them. While they're in there rummaging around doing their best Dyatlov Pass impression, persons or a person unknown starts bludgeoning them with like a rock or a pipe and a knife. So during this frenzied attack, Miley Bjorklund is stabbed and beaten. Anya Mackey is stabbed and beaten. Seppo Boisman is stabbed and beaten. And Nils Gustafsson is merely beaten.
He got a bop at the back of the head.
Yeah, and maybe
he got a slap of something in the jaw.
Yeah, so
and then he got a couple of light, just peppered with a light stabbing.
Yeah, just like soupçon
for flavor.
Of stabbing. Yeah, just a sprinkle of stabbing on him, and he was found outside of the tent
with Miley,
with his girlfriend at
on
the time.
Top of the
Miley
tent outside.
Yeah, and now Miley was naked from the waist down.
Suspicious.
Which is, like, now, I was listening to some reports about this and other podcasts about it, and somebody said, well, maybe she was just sleeping like that.
Yeah, because...
That's what you do. You get a bit warm from the waist down, and you pull your tweeds down to your knees
Let your flaps be free.
Exactly, yeah. Get a nice breeze going
you'll
across.
Finish, just... You'll finish flap freeness. Freedom. Freedom. Free our finished flaps.
Yeah. So, a couple of kids happen along them the following morning. I think the kids are like 10 or 11 years old. And they're just rambling around. And they see the tent, but they're more interested in the motorcycles that they come up there on. And they have to look at them and go, that's quite nice. And they see a man with longish blonde hair walking away from the camp out towards the water.
That'd be weird to me. I'd be like, okay, there's two people lying in a collapsed tent. They thought they were sunbathing.
Yeah.
And they went over to your one and they were like, no pants, eh? You know? A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then went, oh, they're all stabbed and bludgeoned. Quick, run away. Yeah, it's pretty fucked. These two lads were allegedly bird watching, which is what you say when you're peeping Tom, I guess. Yeah. And it's 1960. The fuck all else for doing in Finland, right?
Exactly.
But after seeing that, like, they didn't go and report to the police. They didn't record. Like, you know what I mean? Your man Nils is still alive and he's like, not able to get up or anything like that.
He's bow-jangled on top of the fucking tent.
Yeah. On top of the two bodies of his friends.
Mm. And then it took a jogger, a hiker, to come along and be like, what's going on here then?
Yeah.
So he rambles on over. And he sees that Niels is lying there and he realizes he's still alive and he sounds the alarm. And that's when the police are involved. I would have preferred if the police weren't involved in this one in any way, shape or form at all. Because just like J.C. Lee Dugard, the police are fucking inept as fuck.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like, as we said, there's not that much murder kind of going on in Finland of this ilk, sort of like a mass murder, like loads of people just getting stabbed up, not that much. So the police show up and instead of cordoning off the scene and sort of taking evidence and everything,
they did a JonBenet Ramsey on it,
yeah,
is what they did, and they just tramped through every fucking thing
and you just invite the town up to try and help find
come up
clues.
And help find a clue,
like it's a fucking Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
So everyone's trampling through the scene, everyone's just stepping on potential evidence, like it's down by a shoreline, you'd have to imagine it'd be a little bit of sand or soft muck they might have been able to get a footprint or something.
Now, Christine Ronigan.
Yes. Ronigan's on again, is she?
Yeah. I don't know. She could be right again on this one, though. She says they've not had a major crime in that area, not ever. So maybe, like with what happened with Stephen Avery.
Yeah.
In the Making a Murder series, that these guys just didn't have that experience. They didn't know that you're supposed to do all this shit and just like blew their load and went, oh,
they probably treated
quick
like
help everybody, like it was just like a community thing that they didn't, there was a couple of kids dead and they were like, oh, what do we do,
treat it like a missing person,
help,
go find something,
rather than like obviously like high tech DNA analysis and you know, forensic investigation and techniques,
simple common sense,
were super like primitive in 1960. Like they couldn't find murderers and stuff like that till the late 70s from DNA and all. So, I mean, in 1960, it was kind of like, did you do it? And they're like, no. Okay, then.
Well,
do you know what I mean? Like,
don't think about doing it.
They didn't have those kind of... But, like, in fairness, like, the police probably didn't really know what they were doing. And they weren't covering up for anything, really. There was no police involvement, not like with the Stephen Avery case.
Yeah.
So you can't really blame them for going, oh yeah, fucking help everybody. Now, what they did find was a couple of little bits and bobs around the place, but no murder weapon.
Yeah. No, what they found was there was some missing wallets.
Yeah. Wallets, keys, and change.
Yeah.
So they thought maybe a robbery.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Motorcycles are still there.
Yeah, why not the keys of the motorcycles? But the keys of the motorcycles were gone, but the motorcycle's still there.
Yeah. Like. Seppo's leather jacket was missing. And strangest of all for me was that Niels Gustafsson's shoes were found 700 meters away.
Yeah, that's fucked.
And they were covered in blood.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the killer came along, said, those are a nice pair of shoes. I'd literally kill three people and wound another to get them.
And maybe he thought, oh shit, I blood on my shoes. But like when you get shit on your shoes after stepping in dog shit, you think, oh, I'll just wipe it off the wet grass and it'll come off. So he got 700 meters away, wiping his way through the long grass of the Finnish lakeside and ended up going, oh, that blood's not going to come off, fuck it. And just got rid of the shoes and went off like Huckleberry Finn style off into the sunset.
But like you'd have to imagine then the killer showed up with no shoes on.
Yeah, a no-shoes killer
in
a secluded part of a suburb of Helsinki by a lake.
And you have to, like, Finland is like somebody just took a load of trees and put a few little cities in the middle of them. It's just fucking, it's just trees, man.
It's like a lad with a paintbrush just went, and I call it Finland.
Yeah.
You like, know. A paint of it, like Sim City, you know. Just like, I'm an industrial area there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Residential area here.
So it's, nobody's going to be rambling around with no shoes on.
Sebastian Haff suggests.
What's he saying?
That it is trophies. That the shoes were a trophy.
But he left them behind then. He didn't take everybody's shoes. And he only took the shoes of the one person he didn't kill.
Mm.
So it's weird. And like for me, for my money, the only person that these shoes are going to really properly fit is Niels Gustafsson. They're his shoes.
Yeah.
You know, but his name is Niels and not Walks. So maybe he didn't take them anywhere. And he was lying down. So he's not Stans. So it's just weird that shoes were found 700 meters away.
Covered in the victim's blood.
Yeah, and you're missing the murder weapons, and you're missing a leather jacket now.
And no other DNA from any other person. So like,
exactly,
a fifth person, when you're lashing lads with a rock and somebody might fight back and you have a knife and you might nick yourself and drop a few drops of blood, you know, around the place. Or even like you sneezed or you fucking jizzed or you did something. No DNA found. And they have the tent.
Yeah.
And it's been analysed like only recently, maybe in the last 15 years, by British forensic investigators. And it wasn't analysed properly, or maybe it wasn't like discovered, but they only found four people's DNA, and it was the four people who were in the tent. So like obviously one of them had something to do, or your man was fucking Forrest Whitaker in Ghost Dog, and he was just completely like,
he had one lazy eye.
Yeah, he was lay on the professional. Just coming in and pew, 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 pew.
But like, if you're going in there beating
someone, like rocks and knives that's pretty primal, right?
That's like shit that's around.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then for him to take the shoes and just leave them there. So, Niels, for me, is looking like suspect number one.
Yeah.
You know? His wounds weren't life-threatening. They were mainly superficial. He was the only one not stabbed. And his girlfriend, the one who was found with her trousers around her ankles and dead on top of the tent with him, was stabbed more times than anybody else, and a good lot of her stab wounds were post-mortem. So even after she died, she was still being stabbed. That's a frenzied attack.
Yeah, that's like hate. A crime of passion.
Exactly. So that's real, like, fuck you, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like, if this is just some dude that happens upon them and he starts killing them, he's not going to, like, and Niels is outside the tent. So, I mean, like, if Niels manages to get out, or maybe he nips off for a slash and he comes back up and finds the
guys. Or maybe he gets
guys.
Out afterwards and just, like, couldn't get anywhere and he just, like, collapsed. But he's able to get outside, so he didn't.
He could have been underneath
to try and
herself.
call for help.
I just meant I'm not getting any sleep in this tent at all.
Yeah. It's pretty stuffy.
Yeah.
For those of you that are in the chat room, we're going to ask intermittently as we go along now, do you think Niels is guilty or innocent? And we wait for all those replies now. There was a couple of other witnesses to the event. There was one boy who was fishing, and he saw this blonde man leave the scene.
Yeah.
Long-haired blonde man. And there was another woman who witnessed the crime scene, but didn't come forward until she was interviewed for a television documentary in 2004, when the case reemerged in the Finnish media. And this case has basically, because of the circumstances around it, has kept Finnish teenagers from staying out late for 50 years as a type of like a Friday the 13th or bogeyman story. And this woman only comes forward in 2004. So like,
yeah, that's a bit
50
whack.
Or 60 years of Finnish teens being afraid of this like black, shadowy, red-eyed, like teenager killing
Mothman-esque.
Mothman monster. And they're like, oh, you can't go up to, Finger Lake to get to drop the hand and maybe see if you can, get some, petrified sardines on your finger. So now we all have to make sure we are in organized sexual encounters in maybe inside youth clubs or for these discotheques. We can't just like go out to the forest and try and drop the hand on a young Finnish girl. It's so unfair. And this woman could have come forward and said, "We can be free now and go and finger bang everyone we want to." I mean, our education system is probably the best in the world, but they couldn't teach somebody how to make sure that all the teens in Finland could, play the double knuckle shuffle. It's not fair. I don't think it is fair.
No, that's lovely. That's a beautiful... I can't wait for a Finnish Gordo to appear on Twitter now.
That's a pretty good Finnish accent. Yeah, sounds bad. Yeah, but like 50 years, man, of fucking telling that scary story.
And
like,
she's just keeping herself in 2004, which is an interesting date as well, given what happens later on.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that.
With Gustafsson emphatically denied that that he was the murderer.
Yeah, he says, I've nothing to do with this. He's like, it wasn't me. Look at me face.
But this woman, who was silent until 2004, claims that these two boys, Seppo and Niels, came over to her and visited her because she was in a tent that was close by.
Yes.
Their camp. And the two boys came over a bit pissed. And they were all like, hey, rah, 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 giving her all of this. And they behaved very aggressively and they were drunk.
Yeah.
And that's why she remembers them. But why didn't she come forward until 2004?
Yeah.
Until the case was now out in the open. It was one of the most famous cases in Finland ever.
And all of a sudden it's back in the news again.
Mm-hmm. And she goes, I want a couple of bob.
Yep.
And I'm saying, them two lads were really aggressive and whatever. And Gustafsson says, I absolutely didn't talk to that woman. And they looked in Bjorklund's diary to see if it had happened. Because she was like a meticulous note keeper.
Yeah.
Similarly with, you know, the people in the Dyatlov Pass. Obviously, 1960, you've not much for doing, only making diary entries and stuff. And this diary entry doesn't say that, oh, the two boys went over to try and be aggressive and drunk to a woman.
Say like aggressive again.
Aggressive.
I like that.
And aggressive. Yeah. And they didn't want to do that, like, you know. Christine, is that a good Finnish accent? I think it's like pretty.
She's from Finland, is she?
Yeah, no, she's from Norway. Gord says, dear diary, I am going to be murdered in a few minutes. That's so funny, man. Yeah, it's bananas. Like, it's a fucked up, like, crazy, unbelievable story, and it's very, you know, teen movie-ish, and it's also very Final Destination-y, and it's also very, the Hills Have Eyes-y.
Goes to camp.
Yeah.
It's Wait, Vern, we got a murder up here.
It's Hills Have Eyes-y, and it kind of spurred on that weekend murder kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, like Monday to Friday, you're buttoned down, you're doing your job, and at the weekend, you just let loose, have let a miller, kick off your shoes, and kill a few people. Yeah.
It does seem very suspicious that he was lying on top, and so was his girlfriend, and she was naked from the waist down, and it seemed like, I don't know, maybe a fit of jealousy, or nobody knows the anecdotal story behind it. Now, I've listened to like four podcasts on this, that are online.
I've listened to those as well.
Yeah, all four of them. And I watched like a couple of different documentaries and I read and read and read.
I listened to an awful lot of Children of Bodom by accident.
I didn't.
Because it just.
I knew what it was.
No. It was. No, I knew because I listened to them before, but it just wound up in YouTube. And all of a sudden,
it just came up.
And then, you're like.
But I didn't want to get tainted by somebody else's podcast. So I read some stuff first.
Yeah.
Couldn't find out what the history of these guys was.
Like, yeah.
It
didn't exist really before.
I mean, they're famous because of this, but why would anyone keep that records of like a teenager's goings on? It just seems so odd that this young lad could have killed his friends.
Yeah.
Now, there are other suspects.
Yes.
There are other suspects.
There are a few other suspects.
Yeah.
So one of the main suspects was Pentti Soininen.
That's pretty good pronoun. Yeah, I get that.
Pentti Soininen.
Pentti Soininen. He was convicted of violent crimes in the 60s.
The late
60s. And he confessed to the murders at the age of 14 whilst in the prison.
That sounds a bit Welsh.
He was convicted of violent crimes. He was after killing all the people while you go camping. But this is serious. Stop.
Yeah, sorry.
He was 14.
Yeah.
He's 14. And he's like, yeah, when I was 14, I did all that shit. And then like 9 years later, he hung himself in prison.
Yeah, 1969.
Because by the time he was 16, he had fucking killed a bunch of other people. And then he was like, yeah, I'm a psychopath. Oh yeah, by the way, those kids that were on the lake, I killed them.
Yeah.
And the night that he hung himself was the anniversary of the night of the murders.
Oh, that's weird,
in 1969.
Yeah. But it's kind of like the police didn't, like, they kind of said, yeah, that's mad that you've confessed him. But he kind of went, we don't really believe him because he's a violent psychopath. He takes drugs. He wouldn't. He couldn't possibly.
Seems like the type to lie.
Yeah, he seems on the level. I like this kid.
Yeah, fuck
so,
that.
So he confessed, but then he topped himself. So they never really got anywhere with himself.
Except for a fucking full and frank confession. But yeah.
Exactly. But you were like, oh no, he's off his rocker. So we can't accept that. But then he was still in prison for things that he did do that he did admit to.
Yeah.
And he went, well, that we'll take that then.
Yeah. I think if it was an American justice system, they would have went, yeah, great, pin it all on him.
Yeah.
Case closed, all over the shop. Let's go to the Pope.
Yeah. But it's I think he was in a different, I think he had an alibi.
Yeah.
However shaky, in a different town.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't think he offered. I don't know if somebody else came along and said, oh no, he was over there. He wasn't killing anybody. You're like, all right, well, that's...
There's a lot of people in the chat room saying that they think it was Niels. They think it was Niels. Some people saying it's not. Gord says Niels did it. He was in cahoots. And Gav says maybe Niels didn't do it. Now, it's one of those things where you're going, we're going to go through the suspects now and give out their details. And it very well could have been like guilty so far, some say.
Yeah.
But I do think that...
Wait till you get some a load of these, the rest of them.
Yeah, some of these suspects kind of like, oh yeah, no, it was definitely him. Especially the after-death testimony of their closest relatives.
Yeah, exactly.
We also want to welcome Rachel. She's in the chat room right now with us, hoping she'd throw out a comment and have a go.
Oh, it's not my ex, is it?
No.
Thank fuck.
Not this time. So who's the kiosk man?
So the kiosk man, or Voldemort Gilbag. No, his name is, did I pronounce that right? His name is Voldemort Gilstrom. He was one of the prime suspects. He was known to absolutely fucking hate campers, yet still owned a kiosk near a campsite. So I don't know if he's just a fucking glutton for punishment. Yeah. So
a masochist.
Yeah. So he actually killed himself as well.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I'm Tarantinoing this. I'm going to start with his death and I'll work my way back
nice.
Until he's alive again. So he actually drowned in Lake Bottom, not too far from where the three kids were killed, again on the 9-year anniversary of the murders.
So two lads on the night of the 5th of June 1969 yep. killed themselves while being attached to this murder in two separate places.
Yes.
One in jail and one in the actual lake next to the... That's...
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, as it turns out, while drunk, he confessed to the murders to his neighbor. Oh. Saying, I killed them.
I killed them.
I killed them. Them, them, him. I killed him.
Who will work on a finish?
I will work on my finish. I don't know if it all comes out as Borat. Is that this? East of Europe? No, where is this from?
Part of Mexico, you're from,
mate. Andale, andale, arriba. No.
Hey, so, man, I'm from Finland, man.
So you're better at accents than me. But, so I'll definitely have to work up on that. So, Gilstrom.
Yeah.
Gilstrom. Fell to fell in his courtyard a few days after the murders. Gilstrom apparently had a well, and yeah, some people said he...
He took a fall, like he all had wells at that point.
Yeah, he had a well. It was the thing to do. And he had a well, and he was said to have thrown the murder weapon and all the other paraphernalia and stuff that
like
he stole
Seppo's
from...
Like Seppo's jacket and stuff.
Seppo's jacket.
Yeah, and the wallets.
And the wallet stuff into the well, and then filled it in.
Guilty.
A couple of days after the murder.
Of a guilty man for yeah. shizzle.
So, people went... They fucking searched his premises, but they never dug the well.
Yeah.
To see, I mean, like...
It's hard to dig out a well, but... Do you know what I mean?
If I could get a backhoe and just...
Yeah, but
in
you
the
have
rough
to,
area.
You like. Have to go all the way down and then dig into the side. And they don't know at which point. Like, he could have, like, quarter filled it with cement and then threw the stuff in and then filled the rest of it or third filled
it. But it's a finite area. Like, it's not like he dropped it down and you just hear a bunch of Chinese lads going, why that? You know what I mean? He's just fucking...
I think it's... Maybe, yeah, but I mean, if they're going to solve a 60-year-old murder, dig a fucking well.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, like, fucking the time team
can find Baldrick dinosaurs and shit.
Can go and fucking knock on somebody's door and goes, I think there's an ancient cloister in your back garden.
Yeah.
And they dig it up. Like, it's like, I think we can solve a murder that's fucking 50 years old. Can we? You know, they didn't do it. And that's, again, the police fucking dropping the ball. So they searched his house, but they found nothing incriminating at all. But as again, whilst drunk, he did confess to the murders to his neighbour.
But Gilstrom's wife was his
yes.
alibi.
Gilstrom's wife was his alibi.
Now, she was like, yeah, he was with me.
Yeah, we were banging, finger banging, back when it was safe.
Yeah.
And
like those 100%. Old days in the forest, before these murders, when a woman can go out and get finger banged by an 18-year-old at the age of 15 with no repercussions.
So she was his alibi and they were happy enough with that. However, before her death, and after his, she claimed her husband had threatened her should she tell the truth. Yeah. But said after his death, she knew it was him. So she basically just upended his alibi after he died.
Yeah.
So we had the well situation. Yeah. He didn't like campers.
Yeah.
Alibi gone.
He used to throw stones at cyclists and
yeah.
stuff on the way by. He's just a cranky old fucker.
Once screamed at a pigeon. It's fucking weird shit.
Shout at a cloud.
Yeah. He used to go around robbing people's scabs.
This is madness, right? This guy, this next one. Okay,
my favorite
one. Right, we'll chalk it down then. Who thinks that Gilstrom is guilty? tweet in if you're at this far in the show and you think, like, he didn't like campers. It is a Scooby-Doo bad guy, says Paul Fake News. He goes, it's a Scooby-Doo bad guy. Valdemar Gielström was known as the kiosk man. He was cranky, and he has been outed by his wife as saying, yeah, he was the one that did it. I know, because it was him. He wasn't there, and I lied in my alibi after his death. Like, that's pretty fucking incriminating, right?
That's fairly damning.
Okay, okay. Here's my favorite one. You're not a tits man. You're not a legs man. You're hands ass man. That's the guy's name.
That's a tremendous name.
It's fucking the best name ever. Hans Assman.
Sounds like you should be in DX. Yeah.
Christine knew it was Assman. She was like in with the things like Assman, yeah. Capital letters. Loves it. Loves it. So tell us about Hans Assman.
So Hans Assman,
there may be some juvenile giggling now.
Just a little bit. So Hans Assman, Hans Assman is seen as the most suspicious suspect, especially because your one's arse was out. So maybe he's like, I just need to see an ass. I am the ass man.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hans Assman is seen as the most suspicious suspect. Allegedly, he was a KGB spy and that he had served in the SS and had been a guard at Auschwitz.
That's guilt upon guilt.
So he's seen some shit.
That's post-death guilt, where people go and look back at his history, look at some shitty things he did. He's fucking Auschwitz, SS, and he was in the KGB.
And then he was down in a campground.
Now, if you look at pictures of this guy.
Yeah.
He's looks a freaky looking fucker. So creepy.
Yeah.
And the photo fits.
Yes. That
Nils Gustafsson did under hypnosis. He did a photo fit with an artist. Yeah. And there's a motherfucking picture from the funeral of one of the kids that died. And this lad is standing right in the middle of it looking like Hans Assman. And this photo fit that your man done under hypnosis.
Yeah.
You're going, why are you there? And nobody knows who he is or why he was at the funeral.
He's like, a weird phantasm-looking motherfucker.
That's some sketchy shit,
but he's got
shit,
bulgy
bro.
Eyes and a big fat head, but it's like so on the money of a description.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the dirty blonde hair as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was he in Auschwitz, but he went to Helsinki Hospital on the 6th of June 1960. That's the night after the murders.
That's the Sunday night.
Yeah, he was dishevelled and his clothes were covered in red stains.
From?
Redness.
Kiora? From Ribena?
Yeah, he had Ribena all over him. And he was being pursued by junkies, hence the disheveled nature for sure.
Yeah.
So there was an attendant in the hospital said he was covered in blood and called the coppers. But so in the hospital, Assman was aggressive and nervous because people were asking what his name was. And hospital staff claimed his behavior suggested guilt, as you do. He was also dressed in clothes similar to the description of the murderer, and he had cut his hair.
Cut his hair in a day?
Yeah. The day after the details of a long blonde haired man was found at the river, he cut his hair off.
Yeah, that's really suspicious.
Yeah. Not only that, but Assman lived within 5 kilometres of Bottom, his favourite place to be.
Yeah. Where do you live? It was a choice between Bottom in Finland or like Butthole, Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's just one or the other.
But I don't like... I mean, I've seen pictures of a...
I live in Perennium, Missouri. What's your name? Ass man.
So, he was also living in 5 kilometres of Bottom, as only a short distance from the shore. The police did not take Assman's stained clothing.
they were manky dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, our G-Man has just come in and said he'd love to live in Dildo, Newfoundland. I really hope that's a real place.
New Poundland. So doctors claimed that they were certainly the stains were blood, but the police would not take them. I don't know why he wouldn't even just take a fucking sample.
Because there was no other DNA at the scene and they didn't think, but whose fucking blood could it be if they had it took the fucking clothes and done the thing. Could have been the sample of the blood from the victims.
Exactly. Like, ball dropped.
Take everything that you can, like. That's so mad.
And then, stranger again, Assman has been linked with other unsolved homicides.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Such as Kalikki Saari's murder. Did I pronounce that correctly?
I guess so. There's a lot of K's in it.
Kalikki Saari. I think, Kalikki, is that where the Wookiees are from? And the double murder in Heinävesi, 2 points of that, please, which took place just 10 months earlier. So he could be a serial killer.
Yeah, it is mad. And like you said, he did match the photo fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does look so much... Like, you'd have to look at the picture of this dude.
Yeah, have a look at them.
I'm going to have these pictures up in the article that goes along with this episode.
Yeah, look at them, and then, at least then you know what your nightmares are going to be.
.com, check it out. He does have that, like, bulgy eye with the bags under the eye, kind of weird, like, demon headmaster looking.
He looks like a strangler.
He looks like he had been strangled.
Yeah.
And he looks like a strangler. Yeah, it's...
So he's a freaky looking fucker. But like the next day he shows up covered in blood, he goes to a hospital, he's got the weird shit going on with Auschwitz and the KGB and all that. I mean, like, could be a serial killer.
You never know. My money is still on Gustafsson.
Oh, yeah.
Even though in late March 2004, 44 years after the murder, the Finnish police declared the case solved based on an analysis of bloodstains that, according to the official statement, Gustafsson erupted in a jealous anger over his feelings for Björklund, which was his new girlfriend, and that was the girl that was found with no pants on top of the tent. She was stabbed multiple times after she got the fatal knock on the head. So why would you stab a person after they died, unless it was like a crime of passion and you were like, yeah, you fucking bitch, you fucking... Do you know, like, giving it the whole...
your face contorted there.
I mean, that's what we need a camera in here just to get those...
incriminating shots,
flailing arm movements. But it was, it's anger, it's passion,
it goes beyond just it goes beyond someone going, I don't like campers.
Yeah,
because not to sound like a psycho myself, but if I didn't like campers and I knew there was people camping, I'd set their tent on fire with them in it and kill them as they came out.
Yeah,
I wouldn't start wailing on them with a rock and knife
in the tent like a shitty game of whack-a-mole.
Yeah. So,
just with Finnish teens. Gord says, he goes, I don't love you anymore. Stop, 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 stop. Or it could be like, I love you too much. Stop, 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 stop. Yeah. Or, I love you. Do you love me? I have a knife. Do you love me? I have a rock and a knife. Do you love me? Oh, no, you have paper. Are you weird?
Yeah. Yeah, you have paper, a restraining order.
Yeah. But it's just like so strange that the way that Gustafsson has left the scene and there's no other DNA and stuff like that.
And
so she was stabbed multiple times, right? And Gustafsson didn't have as vicious a stabbing.
Yeah.
He didn't have as vicious a baiting. Like, these guys were mulched and he was like, I'm kind of okay, right? So
it is but a scratch.
After he was rearrested in 2004, the trial started on August 4th, 2005, and the prosecution called for life imprisonment for the murder. And it was argued that the re-examination of this old evidence using the modern techniques like DNA profiling from the British forensic investigators, it raised suspicion towards Gustafsson because there was blood on the shoes and there was nobody else's DNA at the crime scene and he was the only one left alive. So the defense argued that the murders were the work of one or more outsiders and that Gustafsson would have been incapable of killing three people given the extent of the injuries that he was left with. And I'm like, not if he killed them first and then the injuries, you clowns.
And they don't seem to take into account the fact that maybe the other three were piss drunk.
Yeah.
And they maybe mightn't have been able to respond.
Didn't fight back, like, they were just like, bah. On the 7th of October 2005, Gustafsson was acquitted of all charges. And like we said before, the DNA found at the scene was only from those four teens. There was no other DNA. Now, there was a pillowcase found near the scene with blood and semen on it. I mean...
Is that my mother's pillowcase?
That could be, that could be anybody's pillowcase, right?
Yeah.
That could be everybody's pillowcase.
Who the fuck brings a pillow camping?
Who the fuck brings a pillow with a load of blood and cum on it? And I'm like, maybe that's the pillowcase after a night or two out in the forest. Like,
just a poor pillowcase out on its own, like, trying to get home.
Yeah, no, I mean,
pillowcase, come out and play.
We have a pillowcase that we can lean up against the wall at a 45-degree angle. Like, everyone has a towel like that. But I'm saying this pillow, this my special towel.
It doesn't fold.
It doesn't fold. Oh man, it cracked. Oh, just cracks like fucking taffy.
You gotta wax it down like a boogie board. Keep it supple.
But a wanky blanky, Freddie Jane says. Freddie Jane, a wanky blanky. JonBenet Ramsey's brother had one. It smells like the sea in here. that they found a fucking blanket, but then they tested the blood and they tested the semen and it belonged to nobody. And I was like, shit, why is there like a random cum blanket
yeah
in the middle of a camping site that was
and have you ever been to a camping site
like blood and cum on this thing, like that's a weird thing to find at the scene,
that's an aggressive wank you. And especially if the blood wasn't from
From one person, you're like Jesus.
Yeah,
but they tested it and it wasn't from any of the people from the campsite, so they obviously like ruled it out to be nothing to do with those people. But it could have been like this guy had like a trophy, like a mop up blanket, and he would like kill people and then mop the blood and bring it with him, and he just dropped it. He's like, ugh! Whoever did it, like. But that's a weird thing to find, like a pillowcase with cum and blood on it.
That's a weird thing to find any day of the week. Yeah. But near a murder scene, even more so. Did they keep that pillow, the DNA profile, and see if they can, especially now they have like the DNA?
I don't know.
Because they're solving crimes really all the time.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Because I'd like to fucking get an end to this one.
Yeah, this one has almost no end.
Yeah.
Almost no end. So, like, Gustafsson was basically put up for the murder after exhausting all other options. And he was kind of pinned on it in 2004. And in 2005, he was like, yeah, you're innocent 100%. And he's like, brilliant. Brilliant, got away with it. Now, he had like, admitted to doing it a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, you know, drinking with some people. And he's like, yeah, I did that. I feel really bad about it.
Like, to get finger blasted?
It was just, like, everyone's fucking confessing to this thing.
Yeah, it seems like, if you want to get any sort of notoriety or anybody to look at you for a while, you'll say you did
in
it.
In Finland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, because if you said it anywhere else, he wouldn't really care.
Soininen is a psychopath. Gilstrom's wife dobbed him in. Yeah. Assman is, like, coming into the hospital going, yeah, like, check it out, did this shit. And then Gustafsson is getting drunk and confessing over a few drinks. Like, everybody wants to be part of this thing, but nobody's convicted for it. And the chance of getting at the evidence, like the Valdemar Gilstrom's well, could be full of like leather jackets, wallets, and murder weapons. Because they never found a murder weapon. That's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, like, and when you think about it, like, if you go, see, if you go fishing, because they were fishing.
Yeah.
You're going to bring a knife with you. Because you're not just going to catch a fish, especially in the 60s, catch a fish and release it again.
Mm.
If you catch a fish, that's dinner. So you're going to have to gut it.
Yeah.
And there's no mention of them finding a knife. There should have been a knife at the crime scene. Now, I know the absence of evidence isn't the evidence of absence.
But still,
you know what I mean? There's an awful lot of stuff pointing towards
somebody in a campsite hiding some shit.
Yeah.
The 700 meters away shoes was the thing for me. I'm like,
seems to me like you wrapped all the shit up in your man's jacket. All the wallets and stuff, make it look like a robbery. Mm. And the murder weapons, wrap them all up in a jacket and either bring them off, stick them up in a tree, throw them into the lake or bury them somewhere, kick his shoes off and walk back so he wouldn't leave a trail of blood from the crime scene to there and then back again.
There you go, chalk it down. Steve Elliott has it solved.
Then go back, bash
his face. Try and search around where he left the shoes then.
Yeah. Bash his face with a rock a couple of times.
Mm.
Lump launch that into the river because nobody's going to fucking...
Gav agrees with you.
Yeah.
Anybody else agree with Steve? That's Gord says the Steve should work for the Finnish police.
I'm not inept enough.
Paul asks, where were you that night?
Swimming around my dad's bowel sack.
Yeah, man. That's
my
mad.
My dad was three.
That's mad.
So
Gustafsson was a bus driver and he lived a normal life until he was accused of this crime in 2004. And he was arrested by the police and sent to trial almost immediately. And in 2005, the Finnish National Bureau of Investigation declared the case reopened. And these new blood stains that were found on the tent, matching Gustafsson. So there's only four DNA samples found. That's the clincher for me. Like if there's one extra murderer coming around that scene, with all of the touch DNA that you can get nowadays, and all of the, you know, if someone a little bit of spittle or some sweat or some, like if you're baiting four people to death with a rock, a drop of sweat is going to fall off.
Exactly.
And if they examine every little inch of this canvas tent, surely some fucking thing is going to show up.
Yeah. And why is your wand's trousers down?
Why is she stabbed extra times?
Do you, like, I mean, the way I see it is, like, if somebody happened upon this and said, I'm going to kill all these people, and he started whacking and stabbing furiously, and Niels is outside. The only way I could see it is that Niels went out for a slash and he came back to find everyone having a slash as well, but this time with a knife. And he was like, oi, you feck. Your man isn't going to turn around, hit him on a rock a few times and leave him at that. He's going to be like, you've had to ruin me fun. Stab, 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 stab. Unless your man was given your one something extra.
Yeah, maybe he had him on a threesome.
You know?
Mm.
It's weird, but I mean, like, there's too many things. Like, I mean, if there was only, if it was... if Niels was just found on top of the tent and his shoes were near him, I'd kind of go, okay.
The shoes is the clincher
the
for
shoes
you. The four only four sets of DNA
yeah.
is the thing that gets me.
That puts only four people in my mind at the crime scene and only one is walking away.
Paul Fake News is eagerly awaiting your book, If I Had Done It.
Yeah.
the story of Lake Bottom by Steve Elliott.
What I'll do is I'll take a load of murders and say, this is how I would have done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
That's a great podcast.
That'd be a fucking it's harrowing so thing. My family doesn't do a crime.
Yeah, the clinchers for me is the 4 DNA and the weird cummy pillowcase.
Yeah.
The fact that they stole the gear as well, without it being a robbery.
And the bikes.
And left the bikes.
You think...
Maybe they didn't know how to start the bike.
Let's make a getaway.
Like to... We'll walk everybody up at 6 in the morning.
If they're all dead.
Not the women, across the way. I wonder, like,
that's if that woman wasn't even there.
That woman that was there, did she not hear people shouting and screaming? Obviously, like, there was shouts and screams.
That's if she was there. There's nothing in her diary. There's nothing in her diary saying that two lads came over and were aggressive. Yeah. But is there anything in her diary going, nice day for a bit of camping?
Yeah, it's weird.
You know?
It's weird.
And it doesn't sound like that's a nice place to go camping if you've got fucking that Lula living up on a hill, throwing rocks at you and screaming at squirrels for making too much noise, you know?
Yeah. It is a strange one, and it's a short enough case. I mean, that's all there is out there to find. I'm sure that you can go online and read a few different articles. There is a few different other podcasts, like Sword and Scale do an episode of this, and the Generation Y podcast, and Thinking Sideways do. But there isn't a lot of stuff, because it was 1960, it was Finland. There was no real police reports or police files made.
Or police training.
Or training or effort or any kind of work. But like, there was enough DNA evidence in the tent that they kept for 60 years to recall your man back to court. And I just think he had good lawyers and it was like too long. There's no statute of limitations on murder. Yeah. So it was just like...
And it seemed like the defense's whole idea was he couldn't possibly have done this with the injuries he had. And it doesn't seem like the prosecution said maybe he got them after it.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like it was just a flimsy defense that just was enough to defeat a crappy prosecution.
From the Discord server, Christine says, throwing axes and knives is quite normal in Scandinavia as a hobby. Just like throwing knives, or like, oh, I'm getting into being a Viking or something like that. Like just getting throwing axes and practicing or whatever, is it? And Freddie Jane says, I keep saying this, but Niels was not able to give any description of anyone. He said it was a black figure with red eyes. I'm like, yeah, way to be vague there. Yeah,
he said that under hypnosis. I think he gave the description. There is a picture of it. He said a man...
Who looks a lot like...
Yeah, yeah. Ass man. I think he said he had dark eyes and he had the blonde hair and he had bulging eyes and he had a fat mouth. But when he looked at Ass Man, his mouth wasn't that fat.
Yeah.
But if it is Ass Man indeed, and you're stabbing somebody and hitting somebody, your eyes are going to be bulging, your mouth's probably going to be stretched wide open.
Yeah.
You know, your lips are going to look fat. So he did give
especially
a description.
Especially if you're being stabbed, you're not going to.
And it did point the finger at Ass Man, but I don't think he was able to finger
back up,
him.
Back up into it, yeah.
Yeah. So I think he wasn't able to say, yeah, that's definitely him.
Yeah. It's confirmed from Christine. Yeah, it's people pretending to be Vikings, throwing knives and axes and stuff like that. That's pretty cool. But not if you're getting betted out with a rock. I just think like that a lot of people in those days would have carried a knife.
Seems like the thing that I carry one.
Yeah, I didn't know if you felt comfortable everybody knowing that. But yeah, you carry a knife. But like, yeah, I've seen you use it here in practical terms here in the house like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, I've only ever used the scissors.
There's a scissors on it. There's a knife that you've shown us but never used. And there's a couple other bits like a toothpick.
Yeah,
and
I use for rebooting the modem.
And there's another special blade for starting brand new toilet papers.
Yeah.
It's brand new toilet paper rolls. So like... And whittling, obviously. Gord said you can do some whittling.
Which
like,
is one thing not to do while you're leaning against a tree, watching your child across the road just whittling a ship into a point while staring at him. And nobody knows that's your kid.
At the playground full of kids.
Yeah.
With headphones on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just so strange that there was no knives, there was no weapons of any kind found, no murder weapon. It's very like Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah.
In that way. Except there's a survivor who can't fucking tell us anything.
Yeah. But see, the thing, if it was him, and the police would say, we've got this guy, his name's Hans Assman, we've got all the circumstantial evidence, all we need is for you to put him at the scene of the crime, he'd finger him.
You know, the ass man.
He'd finger the ass man.
Rachel says she carries a knife as well, and Paul Fake News says he carries one as well. Yeah. So it's not that strange, but to have, like in the 60s, four kids going out to a camp and not finding any knives.
Especially when you're going fishing, you have to cut a line, you might have to gut a fish, you know?
That's bananas. That is bananas.
Like not even a bottle opener, corkscrew, something, anything, you know?
Or you a wallet or a keys or...
Yeah, a life force, a glint in the eye.
But think about that then, right? The guy jumps out, has a rock, baits him all with a rock and then stabs him a bunch of times. Then pulls both Niels and Miley out of the thing, lays them out, takes off her pants.
Yep.
And then stabs her 15 times. Way more than the other people.
Yeah.
But then only lightly kind of batters Niels.
Yeah.
And then has to go through all of their pants pockets and pulls out all their personal effects. And go, like... go into the tent where all their stuff was and pull out all the stuff, including your man's jacket,
and, like,
and then gather it all up and then leave without leaving a trace of DNA evidence.
And who the fuck is bringing, who brings that much money camping? What are you going to buy when you're out there? You know, it doesn't seem like, I mean, if a crazed fucker came along and killed them all, fine.
Oh, yeah.
But somebody's not going to come along to rob them.
If Freddie Jane said if the murderer had his own transport, he wouldn't have been able to take their motorbikes. That's a good point.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, yeah. But he didn't seem to have his own shoes.
Yeah. And it was 700 metres in the other direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gord asks, did anyone ask why these kids were really there? I bet they had some grimoires, summoned an evil deity and got all massacred. Demons run off with their loose change.
Could be.
Could have been a loose change demon. Sure. Jingles. Looking for, it could have been a junkie looking for a drop of Kiora.
It could have been doing a demon thing
and been possessed and killed by the same spirit that killed those kids at the Atlas Path. More than likely, though, it was probably Nils Gustafsson who killed his missus in the crime of passion and got away with it.
I would say so, yeah.
That's what I'm
just. It just seems like there's just one piece of evidence missing. There's just some linchpin to the whole thing that just isn't there.
Or it's been overlooked a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Or it's too old now and they can't be properly tested.
Like, have they tried looking up? You know what I mean? They just...
Yeah.
A knife just floating in the air. Arr, he tied it to a balloon and it's still there 50 years
later. Or like go and excavate the entire site and try to find a leather jacket that wraps up like a load of murder weapons and a bunch of wallets.
You know, like if you, or look put, at if that you fucking got the leather jacket,
you know,
put loads of rocks in it, put the weapons in it, zip it up, wrap it up the arms and lump launch it into the river. Now, it seemed like the police did go out and they did drag the lake. But from what I read and from what I heard, they treated it like a vacation. They just went out there and were like, we'll have to get some beers and we're going to drag the lake.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
That's from Amsterdam.
Yes. We're on holiday, Shin Finland, from Amsterdam. I like this, and this is what we're probably going to finish the show on, a pun from Christine. She says, the knife is at the bottom of the lake.
That's good for
English as a second language. Yeah. That's really good. Okay, well, that's it then for those conspiracy guys for the Lake Bottom murders. If you have any other speculations or you think... you know what happened, or you can figure it out, or look online. There's loads and loads of stuff online, most of which we've succinctly described here, but there are maybe some details that we've overlooked, or some little small detail that wasn't printed in. I think I had about 20 different articles about this up, trawling through, and some of the articles, like in The Guardian, it has all the years are all wrong. Like all the suspects died in wrong years and all that stuff. It was all like 1972 and 1976. And you're like, come on, Guardian.
But do you know what's one thing that's weird is that from the four prime suspects, only one is still left alive, and that's Niels. He survived again.
Yeah, all these guys killed themselves. Like, that's... two lads killed themselves in the fucking 9-year anniversary of murder.
One in the lake separately, nearby.
Like, near, in the fucking lake that happened by. That's fucked up. It's crazy. But I do think, you should look it up. Go have a look at those pictures of the ass man.
Definitely. You can see pictures of where they were laying in the tent, and you can see there's a cartoon that sort of...
And there's pictures of
exactly
the tent.
Where they are. There's pictures
I'm
going
to put it up on
tent.
Our website. Yeah. So if you head over to our website, www.thoseconspiracyguys.com, and check out the article, we have all these details as well as the show file for you to listen to, and then a few pictures and a couple of links to sources and stuff like that. And we will be putting out, top five best teenage summer murder true crime cases as soon as you get some more true crime episodes in the can. Thanks for joining us for these true crimes. They're short and sweet. They get the info in, and we've been joined here live by the people from Patreon on a Discord app. So if you want to join in the show the next time and have your say and get a comment in, go to patreon.com/thoseconspiracyguys and sign up, drop a dollar. You'd be supporting the show and keeping us being awesome. And then if you get the Discord app, or you can even get the Discord app now without signing up to Patreon, and get into the public Discord server, and means you'll be able to chat with all the other TCG heads and exchange theories and have the crack. And there's voice and text chat in those as well. We're on all sorts of social media under Those Conspiracy Guys, except for Twitter, because they couldn't fit the hose. So we're at T Conspiracy Guys on Twitter, and we're on all the other sorts of stuff, like for videos, like YouTube, VidMe, and we will be streaming the show on Twitch in the coming months. I'm full-time doing this stuff now, so expect more true crime episodes, shorter conspiracy kind of profile episodes, and then obviously the big shows as well coming up for the end of season 5. If you joined us from Spin, don't forget to subscribe. Head over to anywhere you can subscribe to, or whatever podcast app you're using. I'd like to say thanks very much to Steve for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For this one. Lake Bottom is an unsolvable...
It's fucked up, man.
Fucking mire of unsurety. And thanks to all the people who joined us in the Discord server. You've been very good. So Christine, Freddie Jane, Northern Gord, Brennan, Paul from Not Another Fake Newscast, if you want to go and listen to some not fake news facts. We've also got the lovely Rachel, and then Gav, a.k.a. Sebastian Half. So thanks very much for joining us. This has been No Conspiracy Guys. I'm Gordo.
I'm Steve.
And see you next time. Goodbye.
Laters.
They're doing the finger inks.